Our scripture reading today comes from the third chapter of the book of Ruth, as we continue our series looking at the journey of Ruth as written in scripture. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that I may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there's another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another, for he said, "It must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it and measured it out, 6 measures of barley, and he put it on her back. Then she went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this glorious day, for the opportunity to gather together in your name and to move forward with all that you have given us. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Bless us now, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Daring to act. Daring to act. What is the most daring or high-risk adventure that you've ever done? What is the most daring or high-risk adventure you've ever been asked to do? The first one is of your own volition, your own ability to volunteer, that you're going to go try something daring. The second question has to do with somebody asking you to do something that you may never have considered doing. So what is the most daring thing, act, that you've ever done? For some people, a lot of times, the most daring and the most riskful behavior that they've ever done is actually said no. Yeah, that can be a daring and risky behavior. Can you imagine saying no to someone when the expectation is yes? How about moving from one location to the next, or moving across country, or starting college, or starting a new job, or loading up the car and moving someplace with no job in hand, but trusting that the Lord has called you to move? High-risk activities are not always physical things, such as jumping out of airplane or climbing mountains or scuba diving or whatever we may think in those terms. High-risk activities can be just being vulnerable to somebody else and being able to sit down and listen to what they have to say, or a question that they might want to ask you. It could be the beginning or the ending of a relationship. The book of Ruth, when I read through the book of Ruth, seems to be a story of high-risk activities, or of people being daring enough to act, being daring enough to do things that a lot of times ordinary people will do or don't think about it, and we look at it as being high risk. In chapter 1 of Ruth, to review a little bit, it begins with Elimelech, whose name means "my God is king." And what's the high risk effort that Elimelech takes? Bethlehem, where they are living, he and his family is in a great famine, and he decides to leave his home country to go to Moab, to go where there is food. He decides to pick up everything that he has, his sons and his wife, and to leave the land that is very familiar, very comfortable, even though people are starving and there's famine going on, and go to the land of Moab. Now, the difficult thing here is the land of Moab, throughout Scripture prior to this, is thought as not only being a place where Israelites should not go, but the Moabites are considered to be enemies. But Elimelech, "my God is king," picks up everything and goes to a foreign land, goes to a land of sworn enemies. And while in that land, his two sons marry Moabite women. Now, he has done something that is completely against what he has been taught in Scripture. He's supposed to be, and the family is supposed to be separated from Moabites, but yet they've combined with Moabites. He has sons who have married Moabite daughters. But he has dared to act to care for his family, to feed them, because he knows his God is king, and God does not reside necessarily in one location. While they are there, Elimelech dies, and his wife Naomi is dependent upon her two sons to provide for her, and eventually they die. And so now she is left with her two daughters-in-laws and now has to dare to act. And she dares to act by heading back towards Bethlehem. And as she heads back to Bethlehem and she gets back into the territory, she turns to her daughter-in-laws and says, "Look, so that you can have security, so that you can have a good life, so that you can be taken care of, return to your home, because I don't know how you're going to be received in my home country. So I ask you to go back." One daughter-in-law returns back to Moab. The other daughter-in-law, Ruth, does what? She pledges her obedience. She pledges her life to journey with Naomi. She dares to act. And so Naomi and Ruth go into the new land, back to Naomi's home. Then last week in chapter 2, Ruth Schmidt reminded us how Boaz dared to act. As they've returned back to Bethlehem and that area in which it is comfortable for Naomi, but not necessarily for Ruth, they've returned back to home for Naomi. And Boaz enters the situation. And what we learned last week, that there was four areas in which Boaz dared to act. Boaz, in the first situation in chapter 2, dared to act because of the way he treated his servants. He treated his servants honorably. He treated them as he would treat anyone else, his neighbor or somebody of equal social status. He treated them as they are called to be, and respectful in them. And you see that in the way the servant approaches Boaz and speaks to him. In the speaking of the servant to Boaz, there is a respect, not just of a Boaz, but Boaz to the servant. So Boaz dared to act, probably outside the norms of society. Secondly, you see it in the way Ruth talks to Boaz. Boaz is open to listen to Ruth and her situation, similar to the servant. Third, Boaz dares to talk about God. And when he talks about God, it's not to God, but it's about God. And he talks about Ruth's safety being completely in the hands of God as she works in the fields. He didn't say he was being kind because caring is sharing, but it wasn't about him being kind. It was about God being God. Boaz dares to place God at the center of his life. And that's how he responds there. He dares to act with God as the center. Finally, Boaz, at the end of chapter 2, dares to be hospitable to Ruth. He ensures that she has plenty of grain to take home so that she and her mother-in-law would have enough to eat. Boaz dares to be a servant of God, a steward of God, recognizing the resources that he has are not his, but God's. And he shares those with Ruth and Naomi. Today we come to the third chapter of Ruth, a chapter in which you can almost hear Ruth turning to Naomi and saying, "You want me to do what? You want me to go clean up, put on clean clothes, and go to the threshing floor and meet up with Boaz and do what in secret?" And there's a whole lot there that we can get into as far as the imagery and things taking place. But essentially what Naomi is asking Ruth to do is to go and entice Boaz into a relationship so that Ruth can have security and be secured, so that the land that Naomi owns and that Ruth is now a part of, as a part of the family, can be secured, that Ruth has a future. And so what does Ruth do? Ruth dares to act and follows Naomi's word and goes to the threshing floor. And in that time, while they're at the threshing floor, there's an encounter with Boaz as they go back and forth in secret and conversation that we have before us. Because what is taking place here is a social construct within Judaism on how to take care of kinsmen, of family members. May not be immediate relatives, but relatives further down the line. We see this in the book of Ruth when we talk about the kinsman redeemer. The word in Hebrew that is used in Ruth, not always translated this way into English because of the flow of English, and it might seem awkward, but the word in Hebrew that's translated a lot of times for kinsman, kinsman, redeemer, or redemption in the book of Ruth is used 23 times in four chapters. And that word is connected to the family law that's laid out in Leviticus. And it reflects the Israelite conception of the importance of preserving solidarity of the family, of taking care of one another in family. The Redeemer is the next of kin who maintains and acts to maintain the vitality of the family, the extended family, by stopping or any potential gaps in it. The Redeemer acquires a lot of times the alienated property of his kinsmen, as you can read in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. In other words, he purchases and takes on the property so that they can maintain control of the property. So it'd be like, you're gonna lose your house. Somebody in your family that you might be a great uncle or aunt or somebody goes and buys the house, you retain the house, but they buy it so that you can retain it. Or it might be a farm, but a house or a condo or apartment seems more appropriate for us. It's so that the family member doesn't lose what they have, that they're cared for. This is what Boaz finds him in a position to do with Ruth. It is what Ruth has asked him to do, but Boaz's response is one in which he says, I'm not sure I have the right place to be your kinsman redeemer. There is a closer relative than me. However, if that individual is not willing to do it, I will step in and do it. I will dare to act for you and what you need. I will take care of you. But we must follow the law, we must follow Torah, and allow the one who is the appropriate one in the line to have that opportunity. That individual does have the right to say no, and if the individual says no, not a problem, Ruth, I've got you covered. I will take care of you and do that. This is what happens in the 13th verse in chapter 3. In that verse, it is summarized this way, what we're talking about. Our reading goes like this. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. That's the translation we have. But if I was to do it in more of a Hebraic or Hebrew manner type dialogue, I think it would read like this. Remain this night and in the morning. If he will act as redeemer for you, good. Let him redeem you. If he is not willing to act as redeemer for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as a redeemer for you. What Boaz is telling her in fulfilling the law is that he will provide redemption to you, and that redemption requires a daring act. A daring act to say yes to the law and the social constructs and to fulfill to make sure Ruth and Naomi are cared for. Daring to act to do the right thing in which he was living in the times. And it didn't matter what Boaz's intention was. What matters was the outcome. The outcome for Ruth and Naomi that they would be cared for. In other words, and now this might seem a little strange in our own framework of thinking today, but can you imagine Gary getting married for the sake of the family? Not for love, not because you like the person, but for the sake of the family. That's what Boaz was doing. He was doing what he was called to do. He was daring to act, daring to trust God, and daring to trust Ruth in the life in which he was living. Ruth, the book of Ruth to me is this daring to act, and it all centers around one taking risks and daring because God is at the center of our lives. Each and every person here who dares to act has taken themselves out of the center and place God at the center to reach out to others in need. Whether it's Naomi to Ruth, Ruth to Naomi, Boaz to Ruth and subsequently to Naomi. Whether it's Elimelech at the beginning of the story to care for his family and to depart Bethlehem and to go to Moab, He takes himself out of the center because my God is king. And those daring to asks, the risks that they are taking, God is present in the midst of those and cares for all that are there. So as I think about this, as I reflected upon this, not just over the last week, but even this morning, I came up and I started asking myself, not so much who is my Redeemer. My Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Our Redeemer is Christ, who dared to act for us by giving up all that he had, all that he could equate with God. We read about that in the second chapter of Philippians. He gave up being God for us so that he could redeem us from our sins, from ourselves. But as I look at that, I wonder in my own life, how am I daring to act, having received that redemption? How am I daring to act as a redeemer to others? And that's my question for you today. How do you dare to act as a redeemer within your life? How do you dare to act with maybe a spouse or children, as parents, grandparents, as students, as members of Hollywood Press? How do we dare to act to take ourselves out of the center of our own lives and to allow Christ to be at the center of our lives? And with Christ at the center of our lives, we dare to act in trust with one another. Now, I know trust is a big word, and we all have different ways in which we approach trust. And I know we've all been hurt in a variety of ways, and we respond to others because of what we've experienced in life. And our trust levels vary, justifiably so, based off of what we've experienced. But how do we trust one another? And in our trusting, how do we function as redeemers to one another? How do we put God first in our lives? And in putting God first, we're putting others first in our lives. How do we take our agendas and set them to the side and deal with one another as Christ has dealt with us? It's a difficult thing to trust. It's a difficult thing to dare to trust. But that is my challenge to you this next week. That is the challenge to myself over the next week and every day as I look at transition within Hollywood Press, as you're seeking to call a new senior pastor, as there's transition over all the place and it looks like chaos, is how do we dare to trust God through prayer and love to show us the way? As you go through the week, dare to trust God. Pray, pray, pray. And allow God, through the Holy Spirit, to show you the way. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.